Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. I love that, wiped out. Wiped out means cleansed. Wiped out means they no longer have the power over you. Wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, sinful things just wear a person out. There are so many people in this community that have been living in sin, and they are just weary from it. And they don't know what's going on in their life, but they're just so weary because sin just eats you up. It says, and he may send Christ who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Amen. Let's move over to chapter 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or authority did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today healed." He is the stone the builders rejected, but it has become the capstone. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And I'll tell you, there is nothing in life that matters more than being a person that has been with Jesus, because the Lord Jesus can take ordinary folks and do extraordinary things. And all we need to do is be with him, and he's going to cause his things to happen. This miracle was a huge problem to the religious leaders, because the religious leaders were religious, but they didn't acknowledge Jesus. And now in Jesus' name, something happened, and there's a huge problem. Anybody who's been to the temple for a while remembers seeing that guy out front. Probably lots and lots and lots of people had given him money down throughout the years. Maybe they knew his family. And how do you explain this? The guy's not there at the temple anymore. And it seems like whenever you see him, he's jumping. Let me just tell you one more story here real quick. This conference I was at happened to be at the college where I went to school. And walking through that place, oh, tons of memories. I remember being a freshman. I remember where I saw Tammy for the very first time. I remember where I hugged her the first time. I remember where I gave her a kiss the first time. I sat in classrooms that I used to be at when I was a student. And I remember what God did in my life there, about the time when he was calling me into the ministry. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that God had called me, and I didn't know what to do about it. But I knew that God had spoken to me. I knew his hand was upon my life. And it was such a powerful thing. And I know I should have kept it to myself. But I remember, if you are close to me at all, and we would find ourselves someplace, I just couldn't keep quiet about it. So I would start these religious discussions with folks, and I'd say, I don't know what to tell you, but I just know he's real, and I know he's working in my life, and I'm just so happy to be a Christian, and I'm so happy to do whatever the Lord calls me to do, and serving him's the greatest thing in the world. And people would stop, and they'd kind of look at me like I was a little bit odd. Because usually you only talk about religious stuff when you're at church, around your fellow religious people. But I'll tell you what, something real happened to me. It was powerful. And it was real. And I just couldn't keep my mouth closed about it all. This guy who was healed, he couldn't just politely find his place back in society. He was a walking testimony, and he couldn't keep his mouth closed. And every time people were hearing about what God had done, people were making changes in life and were turning to Jesus because of it. How can we keep silent? How can we keep silent? They arrested them. Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could not see the man who had been healed, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Probably because they wanted to tell him it was a fake, but the guy standing there kept jumping up and down. It's like, how are you going to say it's a fake? The dude is still jumping. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this from spreading any further among people, we must warn them to speak no longer in this name. So they called them in again and commended them for not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So on release, Peter and John went back to the people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Oh, sovereign Lord, they said, you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in it. You spoke to the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his Holy One. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand could happen. But now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through Jesus' name, through the holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. You know, when God's there, all of a sudden these other things, like how much we have, doesn't matter anymore. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them and brought money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Wow. Powerful. Powerful. Holy Spirit-filled people. I got to meet a Holy Spirit-filled couple when I was at this conference. It was this couple, husband and wife, and they know they had been called of God. And they felt that God, there was a church in Norway, Maine. It had been closed down for quite a while. There was no one there. The district still owned a building. And they asked permission. They said, could we go and restart this church? And the district says, well, we have no money. And they said, well, we'll go. And the couple had to raise the money to, I mean, just little things like paying the light bill and cutting the grass. And, I mean, they would have to raise the money to do those things. So they went. And on the first Sunday, there was two people at the church, the husband and the wife. And on the first Sunday, the wife led the singing and the husband preached. Second Sunday came. There was just two people in church, the husband and the wife. And that week, the wife did the preaching and the husband led in the singing. The third week, there was only two people in church. It was the husband and it was the wife. But they were going around their community and they were praying, they were talking to people about Jesus. Week four came and there was only two people in the church. It was the husband and the wife, but that didn't stop them. They prayed and they preached in that building that was empty, just but a husband and a wife. They preached and they prayed that the Lord would come and fill the place again. They started going throughout the community, talking to people about Jesus and inviting and looking for any opportunity they could to meet folks. I'll tell you right now, in less than a year, there's 40 people going to church there. 40 people going to church. The church is actually opened. They're able to pay all their bills. And they're preaching. There's people there. And God's at work. It's like, where do you find folks like that? God's got them. Where do they find the energy to do that? It's the Holy Spirit working in their lives. It's a powerful thing when people believe God. It's a powerful thing when people walk with the Lord. How about just a little bit more? Go over to chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, and no one dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Because they knew they were holy people. And this couple from Norway, Maine, those are holy people. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and their tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and his associates, who were members of the party of the Sanhedrin, were filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. And you know, if you start doing anything for the Lord, you just better be prepared that old Satan is going to be hot fighting against you. Just be prepared. Don't expect everything to go easy. You're going to pay a price if you decide to follow the Lord. If you decide you want to take a step of faith, you just be prepared that you will face, you'll face difficulties, but the Lord will be with you. So he threw them all in jail. Verse 19, but during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail and brought them out. Do you know how this story goes? Does it say the apostles ran away and escaped? Is that what it says? Oh, it's not it that. Not like that, is that? The angel opened the door of the jail, brought them out, said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. So at daybreak, they entered the temple courts, the place where they weren't supposed to be, the place where they're going to be captured. And they did as they were told, and they began to teach the people. And the high priest and his associates arrived, and they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent for the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, they found no one was inside. And on hearing this report, the captain, the guard, and the chief priest were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And then the people said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. The Lord can do mighty wonders, and we just need to trust Him. We just need to be a people of faith. We just need to be people who say, I am going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. I am going to be joyful. I am going to live in the power of the Spirit. I'm going to do as God directs me to do. Well, I could go on, but I think I want to wrap this message up with this. Years ago, there was a song that I heard that always sticks in my mind. And when I face difficulties, I remember this song, and it's so encouraging, and maybe you've heard it before, and the title of the song is Hallelujah Anyhow. And the chorus goes like this, Hallelujah Anyhow. I never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problems life may bring, I hold my head up high, and I say, Hallelujah Anyhow. And I tell you, you trust the Lord, you can find joy in the midst of anything, because you know that He's the Lord and you belong to Him and He's going to keep you. First verse goes like this. Once I read about a man named Job. His troubles and afflictions laid him low. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But instead, he sang and held his head up high. And he sang, Hallelujah, anyhow. I'll never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problems life may bring, I hold my head up high and sing, Hallelujah, anyhow. Behold, in a jailhouse, dark and cold, I see inside two preachers, strong and bold. They said, why should we sit down here and die? So they sang a song and held their heads up high, and they sang, Hallelujah, anyhow. I'll never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problems life may bring, I hold my head up high and sing, Hallelujah, anyhow. Once, in a valley dark and low, your friends, all true and blue, where did they go? And if you want to see your troubles fly, sing this song and hold your head up high, Hallelujah, anyhow. I'll never let my troubles get me down. Whatever problems life may bring, I hold my head up high and sing, Hallelujah, anyhow. I tell you, God's looking for people that will trust Him with every part of their lives. He's looking for people that will take steps of faith and trust Him. He's looking for people that aren't really looking for excuses. They're just looking for the direction that God has, trusting that He'll lead and He'll provide and everything will be fine because the Lord, Lord's Lord, and He'll direct His people. And you know, as I close this service, well, I guess Pastor Scott's going to come and do the end part. But as I close my part of this service, maybe some of what I've preached has stirred your heart a little bit. I hope it did. I know when I hear the word preached in power, everything in me just says, I want to be a better Christian. I just want to go where you want me to go, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I just feel like I want to give, and I want to be faithful, and I want to pray, and I want to help people. Maybe the Lord's been talking to you. Maybe there's some step of faith that He's been calling you to. Maybe there's something that He wants you to do. And I'd just like to just challenge you. If God has spoken to you, and you know there's something that He wants you to do, make today be the day say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. When I got to that conference I was at, they were arranging me to have a roommate. So I'm like, okay, I hope I get somebody who doesn't snore all that loud. But I thought, hey, I've roomed with Pastor Scott. I know snoring. My wife would say I snore too, I guess. I don't know. But walk into my room, and I introduce myself to the guy who's my roommate. Of all things, it's the district superintendent of the state of Maine. I'm like, wow, this is great. And we got talking about all kinds of stuff. And I knew that story about that pastor and wife from Norway, Maine. He started telling me some other stories. He told me about a church. He goes, I got a church that I got to find a pastor for. He goes, it's got a couple challenges. And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, they don't own a parsonage. And I go, okay. And he goes, all they have to pay for an annual salary is $5,000. He goes, so whoever's going to come and pastor at this church, they're going to have to get a job. They're going to have to completely provide their own because $5,000 a year probably isn't even going to pay their health insurance. And he says, you know what? God is faithful, and there are still people that trust God. There's still people who are willing to walk, to take steps of faith. And he says, about that church, he goes, I actually have several people who have approached me and want to step in the gap on that. I said, you mean you have a line of people waiting to preach at a church that has no money? He goes, I do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a person like that. I want to be a person that just says, you know, where he leads, I will follow. If he calls me to do something that I have more to do than I have the resources, I want to trust him. I know I've went long. Can I just tell you one last story, and I promise I'll close? There's a story I forgot about, and I'm glad I forgot about it because it's, you know, they say don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing when you give. But I think this story is helpful. On Thursday night, I decided I was going to kind of sit down front rather than sitting in the back. So I got this seat up front. And, you know, I went to the conference by myself. So, I mean, I don't know very many people. And I'm sitting there, and I happen to look over across the pew. And I saw a face that I have not seen for 30 years. And immediately I remembered a story. When I went to seminary, after I graduated from college, I worked as a youth pastor in New York City. And I was there for a short time, and God called me to go to seminary. So Tammy and I packed up everything we had. I had in my bank, I had $1,400. My U-Haul rental truck cost me $1,200. But I did have some money, and I had reserved an apartment, and I had given them my first month's rent. So basically, I was going out there, and I did have my first month's rent paid, and I would have $200 with me. So Tammy and I knew that we needed to find a job immediately. Both of us had to find jobs immediately, or I wouldn't pay the next month's rent and we wouldn't eat. But we knew that God had called us. She finds a job immediately, I find a job immediately, and we had nothing, but we managed to get going, and we got established. Well, that was in January. By the beginning of May, the first semester was about done. And I sat down at my desk, and I looked at what Tammy was bringing in and what I was bringing in, and I looked at what it was going to cost me to go to seminary the next semester, and I'm like, there's no way. And I took and I put in how much we were to eat, how much it was costing us to eat, and how much gasoline was costing for the car, and our rent, and renter's insurance. I was putting all this stuff in, and I'm like, I don't have any money to go to school. I barely have enough money for us to survive. I thought, surely I'm missing something. So I pulled out my checkbook register, and I looked at the past months, and it's like I was looking at how much it actually cost us, And I'm like thinking, and I'm not finding anything. And I remember praying right there at that desk. And I'm like, God, I know you called me to be here, but Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't have the money. I don't have the money to go to school. And I was wondering what I should do. And I tell you, God doesn't always speak to me like this, but I felt like he spoke to me so clearly, and he told me that I needed to trust him, that he was going to provide. And I was wondering if it was my imagination. But I felt the Lord said to me so clearly, he says, I'm going to provide for you, and to show you it is from me, I'm going to pay all your tuition and books, and I am going to pay all the tuition for another student through you. This is my imagination. It just kept coming back to me. And then I felt like the Lord wanted me to take a step of faith. And there was a young lady who was going to seminary as well, and she was single. And I felt like the Lord told me that I was supposed to go up to her and tell her that even though I had no money, that when the fall came, I was going to pay her tuition and mine. And I remember praying, I said, Dear God, A, she's going to think I'm a kook. B, I sort of feel like I'm a kook. C, I don't even know how, this is ridiculous. And I remember telling God, I can't do this. Amen. That's how the prayer worked. But the Lord kept working on me, and by the end of the week, I just knew that I was supposed to do it. So it was right at the end of the semester, and we'd just gotten out of a chapel, and I saw her, and I walked up to her in a meeting room outside the chapel, and I said, Connie, and she goes, oh, hi. And we knew each other, but not that well. I said, I have something very unusual to tell you. I said, I have no idea how I'm going to come up with the money for next semester. She goes, oh, I understand. And I said, no. I've been praying, and God told me that he was going to provide for me. And God told me that he was going to provide for you next semester through me. So next semester, I'm supposed to pay your school bill and mine. And she looked at me odd, and I said, yeah, pretty weird. I have no idea how it's going to happen. Bye. And I walked off. I didn't know what to say. I mean, you could talk longer, but you have nothing else to say. The more you talk, the stupider you sound. Well, let me tell you what. That was at the beginning of May. So God had June, July, and August. And I want to tell you what he did. God blessed me. God blessed Tammy. God provided different jobs where we were making a whole lot more money. God helped us out. We get to the end of August. I have all the money to pay my tuition in cash. And I have all the money to pay all my books in cash. And I have all the money to pay another person's tuition in cash. So, I hadn't talked with her all summer. She went to a different church than me. Remember, we show up on registration day, and you've already pre-registered, but there's a day you actually go and sign all the stuff and you pay. And there I was, and I saw her. I'm like, hey, Connie. And she goes, hey, Doug, how you doing? And, you know, she had all her stuff to try to make whatever arrangement, school loans, whatever she was. I don't know what she was going to do. And I said, hey, Connie, remember what I told you a couple of months ago? And she says, yeah. And I said, can I please have your financial paperwork? I'm supposed to pay your bill. And she goes, no, you don't need to do that. I go, oh, yes, I do need to do this. I need to do this big time. God just did it. God did it. It's not my money. God did it. And she goes, she handed it to me, almost embarrassed to hand it to me. And I got out my checkbook, Nazarene Theological Seminary. I looked at the amount, and I wrote the amount, and I signed the name. And I said, here you go. And then I walked off. So there I was, sitting in the church for church service, and I looked down the pew, And I saw Connie, and I haven't seen her for years. I literally have not seen her since we were in school together. And I remember that story, how God provides. God leads his people. You know, so if you say yes to God, don't think, oh, God, I'm saying yes to you, but I'm going to end up embarrassed. Don't you worry about that. Or if I say yes to you, how in the world am I ever going to do it? It's not about you and your strength. It's about you and you obeying so you can see his power at work in your life. All he's looking for from us is a sincerity and a willingness to trust. Sincerity and a willingness to trust. All right, I promised I'd close. Please bow your heads with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for these people. And Lord, I know such a small part. I know so little about them. But you know all about them. You know what their schedule is going to look like this week. You know who they're close friends with. You know about bills they have and bills that are coming up. You know about stresses they have to deal with. You know things they dream about. And Lord, you know what you've been talking to them about. And Heavenly Father, I pray that maybe through this message, that you would have fanned into flames their trust in you. So maybe, Lord, there's something you've been talking to them about and they've been thinking about, that maybe today would be a day that they make it solid. They say, yep, I know God wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. I pray, Lord, that today would be a day of resolve to do those things that you have spoken to them about. Today would be a day that I say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm going to trust you. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.